Well, here we are again. Here we are again, Jen Luttrell.
Yep, we're back.
We're back.
Where you lead,
a dinosaur I will follow. Story.
What?
Where you lead, I will follow indeed. We just finished watching
Season 2.
Yes.
Of Gilmore Girls.
Episode what? 22 of Season 2?
I don't know.
You
something
bet.
Like that.
So we finished Season 2 of Gilmore Girls, and boy, do I got stuff to say.
You bet. We both got stuff to say.
This is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today with the effervescent Jen Luttrell.
Hi.
Jen, you're the big Gilmore Girls fan around here, around these parts.
I am
watching Gilmore Girls for the very first time.
Exciting.
Jen is showing it to me. She's presenting it to me.
Also exciting.
We're not speeding through it. We're kind of leisurely watching it. Take your time with it, you know. Maybe one a night, something like that.
Yeah. I push for three, but...
Three is always too much.
One is fine.
We got to pepper in something else. Because we got a far journey, you know what I mean? So we're not trying to push it. This is going to take a bit. This is going to take a minute.
Right.
So I don't want to go through everything we went through with season one. If you haven't listened to the season one episode, go up in the feed and find it. Mm-hmm. But this is your, what, 1 millionth time watching this series?
Yeah. I also did it again where I didn't stop. I didn't stop my usual morning routine of watching it.
Perfect. Well, whereas last time I was completely fresh and you were, you had no idea what season one was. We're both going to be kind of foggy now because now that I've watched season one and two,
right?
I've got to figure out in my mind to delineate where season two begins. Luckily, we have IMDb.
Yeah, we got a nice handy-dandy cheat sheet.
And I was already wrong because in my head, I thought the whole Max storyline was over. Max, yep. The season one romantic romance interest for Lorelai. No, there's a cliffhanger in season one where he proposes to her with yellow...
1,000 yellow daisies.
1,000 yellow daisies.
Not 1,001, not 999, but 1,000.
Right. And, of course, if you listen to the episode, I fucking hated Max. I didn't hate him as a character the way I'm going to hate a character from this season. Spoiler alert. I just hated him as a part of the show. I thought the character was very milquetoast. Yep. I thought the character was very bland. It felt like a season one idea that even they knew sucked.
Yeah.
I felt like their relationship was always happening off screen, so I had no... stake in it.
Yeah, Gilmore Girls is weird about that, I think, in general.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff.
Happens off screen.
Happens off screen.
They don't know who to focus on, so they kind of focus on nobody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but, you know, does she end up marrying Max, Jennifer?
No.
What happens?
I mean, what, you mean the whole, like, kit and caboodle?
No.
Oh, we don't. No.
This episode's not going to be 9 hours.
He's donezo.
But basically, you know, that's another thing that's kind of underdeveloped.
Right.
It's never clear. There's no real clear, other than like, what, at her bachelor party, she calls Christopher, who is Rory's father. And I guess up until this point, he's sort of depicted as like the love of her life that she can't make it work with.
Right.
So she calls Christopher at the bachelorette party, mm-hmm. which...
He's also her oldest friend. Like, you know, they were friends in high school, so she feels like he knows her really well.
And they both come from, like rich families and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, it kind of just, she just calls it off. And then the show's kind of like done with him, too.
Yeah.
He's supposedly still Rory's teacher, but we don't see him anymore.
Well, no, Rory has to do the in.
Has to do the what now?
Like,
you remember something from a later season?
Yeah.
Is that what happens?
Sorry.
Oh, God. There's going to be a lot of that, folks.
It happens again.
Spoiler alert for every single episode of Gilmore Girls, including the four-part movie miniseries at the end. Because to Jen, it's all just...
It's all one big movie.
For Jen, Gilmore Girls is like a big, comfy... Like a pile of fall leaves.
Yeah.
You just kind of jump in it and feel comfortable, don't you? Don't you, Jen?
I'm sorry. I said it last time, though. I should remember it better because I don't sit down and watch it. I just listen to it in the morning while I get ready.
It's sort of just the background
of your life. It's background, right. Always.
Right, because we'll be watching an episode and you'll notice something and be like, oh, I haven't noticed that.
Yeah.
It's because you haven't actually looked at it with your eyes in so long.
It's really just background noise. And that's because I know it.
Dialogue like crazy. You'll be like, wait for this dialogue. Wait for this. This is
going
to be great.
Because when you listen to something over and over again, how can you not memorize it?
Right. I should say up front that I am not taking... I'm watching it, obviously. But I am not taking... the experience of watching Gilmore Girls with the care and critical integrity and critical eye that I do for most of the things that I talk about on PCMC.
Wrong. The disrespect.
When I talk about something on PCMC, I typically watch it very closely. I take notes. I really put a lot into this shitty show. And I'm kind of just watching this. I'm kind of just your boyfriend watching Gilmore Girls.
The disrespect.
So there's things I miss, I'm sure. Yeah. Sometimes we'll rewind something. Sometimes I'll go pee and you'll be like, you want me to pause it? I'm like, nah, fine. Sometimes I'll miss something and you'll be like, you missed that. And then we'll rewind.
The disrespect.
Sometimes we'll just get into a little tickle fight and we'll both miss something. Much like the way you watch it, it's kind of just on a lot, right?
Yeah, but I'm still actively listening.
We eat dinner while watching it a lot.
Actually, that's a lie. I'm not always active. No, sometimes I leave the room and it's on.
Yeah.
And then I come back. I'm like, yeah, I get it.
Sometimes you're on TikTok.
Yeah, but that's because I've seen it. When I watched it the first time, I watched with my eyes and my ears.
Okay. Well, I watch it with mostly my ears and my eyes for the most part.
For the most part.
I check Instagram now and again.
Yeah, for the most part, your eyes are on your phone.
That's not true. I watch it.
And when
whenever that Laurel eyes on screen.
Oh, boy.
Am I right?
Oh, boy.
Wow, whoa, you are.
Oh, boy.
What a looker.
Jeez, Lou.
Jeez, Lou. So, what's next? We can't go through every episode. That's 22 of them, and people already have turned this episode off. Well, let's talk about the opening. The opening adds Paris in.
Yeah.
And Dean in. Or was Dean in the first season opening?
No, I think Dean was in the first one. It adds Jess.
But does it add Jess right away or waits a few episodes?
I think so.
Okay. So, yeah, it crams in Jess and Paris.
Yeah.
And Paris is wearing a hard hat, and you're like, I haven't seen that yet, but I'm sure I will soon. And you do, because it's episode two is yeah. Paris and a hard hat. And I should say, I said in episode one, or our first episode with season one, that like I like Paris, but they keep going back and forth with her. She's a villain. She's a good guy. I feel like, in general, season two is much better written.
Oh, yeah.
And they understand their tone much more.
Oh, yeah.
And Paris, I think she's one of my favorite characters now, mm-hmm. because they get her right. She doesn't change who she is, but she just decides that Rory is better as a friend than an enemy.
Right.
So I think that's good writing, because sometimes a character will become a good guy, and like Spike from Buffy, which is a reference you won't get. But when Spike becomes a good guy, he really doesn't act like the way he acted when he was a bad guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas Paris is still the character, but she's just good now.
Yeah,
Paris she's just on Rory's side now.
Yeah, Paris stays pretty steady.
Paris is good. I like her, and I like her. That's how she talks. I can't do her accent, but she's got a very particular accent. Like
her voice is always shaky.
Right, she's always stressed.
Yeah, you can feel the anxiety.
Yeah, I like when she's freaking out. Mm-hmm. Again, they realize that she's the most fun when she's put in situations that she's uncomfortable with and mm-hmm. she feels like she's flailing, which are typically situations that normal teenagers are good at, like friendship and things like that. She's more comfortable with, like, you know, mm-hmm. anything where she's overachieving.
Right. So in this season, We get to go to Harvard, which is exciting.
Yes.
Because that is what Rory has been working for forever.
Right. They take a little road trip to Harvard.
Post breakup with Max.
Right. She's just like, let's just get in a car and go.
The weekend they're supposed to get married.
Yeah, she escapes.
And that discussion with Max is off screen.
Yeah.
They're like, Max is fine.
Did the actor who played Max peace out? Was he like, fuck this show?
I have no idea.
Be in movies? Not really.
I have no idea.
He's very quickly.
Yeah.
Just gone.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And out of the mind of our characters, too.
Yeah. They did not look back.
Yeah, they go to Harvard. There's funny stuff in the road trip to Harvard episode where they stay at like a weird little inn. There's like a cat that sits. Yeah.
Sammy.
Yeah, the cat doesn't ever move.
Yeah.
That's fun stuff.
Yeah. And LaDon, who owns the inn. It's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun. I was super excited when I watched it the first time. I was like, yeah, we're at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
I guess we got to get into the gist of it all, don't we?
Yeah.
This is the big defining thing of season two.
Jess comes to town.
Jess, the bad boy.
He messed it up in New York, and his mom sent him to Stars Hollow.
Of course he's from New York. Because yeah. If you're in a one-hour drama, New York means you're bad. Like Michelle Williams from Dawson's Creek. Yeah. You never watched Dawson's Creek?
I know. I think I might, though. I saw some TikTok on it, and I was like, ooh, you sparked my interest.
I mean, if you liked Gilmore Girls... Dawson's Creek is much more spicy.
I was going to say, I'm a few years younger than you, so I think when Dawson's Creek... I think my sister watched it.
That's true. I was in high school.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I
was a baby.
All right, but you're not that much younger than me. You might like it. I don't know. I don't know how well that's aged, to be honest with you. Jess, played by Milo...
I'm not
I can never say his last name.
I'm not going to mess up his last name.
He's the star of This Is Us.
Yes.
He plays Jack Pearson.
Yeah.
He also plays Robert Rocky Balboa Jr. in Balboa in Creed 2, which is good casting because his sideways mouth really looks like Sylvester Stallone. He was perfect casting for that.
He was born that way. He had like nerve damage.
Same thing with Sly.
Yeah. Also,
I winked it for no reason. I winked at Jen creepily.
Yeah. I was trying to move past it.
Whenever I talk about Sly, I wink.
We're
gonna watch Over the Top soon.
All right.
Stay tuned for the Over the Top episode with me and Jen. It's gonna be great.
What a twist!
Sorry, go on.
I was gonna say he is also. I think he's never had meat. Like, he's been a vegetarian his whole life.
Oh, really?
That might be wrong. Yeah, the actor. I feel like I heard that once somewhere, and it stuck.
Well, good for him.
I could be wrong.
Hey, I say this over and over again. PCMC is not a new show. Don't come to us looking for facts.
He's been a vegetarian since before he was born.
Yep. Jess is the nephew of Luke.
Yeah.
And Luke's mother, Jess's sister, is kind of a flake.
Yeah.
Right? And she's kind of like, take care of my kid.
Yeah, she couldn't handle him.
Right.
So she sent him to Luke. His parents aren't together.
He's a strong male role model.
Right. I love dad Luke.
Yeah, Luke, they give Luke way more to do in this season.
Yeah.
And he's also befuddled because he's a tough guy, but he also doesn't know how to, like...
He was given a teenager.
Yeah, he doesn't know what to do.
Like a full... Not like a 13-year-old. Yeah. Like a 16-year-old.
And they live in, like, a tiny little apartment that used to be an office over the diner, which was when his father owned it, a hardware store.
Yeah, which isn't really... Doesn't look like it's big enough for Luke.
Right.
Let alone any other human beings.
How did Taylor allow that? You're telling me that hardware store is zoned to be a restaurant?
I feel like... No. I feel like if the town says it, Taylor has to do it. You know the town knew his dad and was upset with Luke when he died.
Taylor is the fastidious... what is he? He owns the grocery store, and he's the head of the council?
Isn't he like town magistrate?
Yeah. He's sort of, but he's like nosy and he kind of, yeah, you know.
I think later they make him like mayor or something.
That makes sense.
I feel like some Gilmore Girls will do things and then pretend like that's the way it always was.
Okay.
I don't know if it was in this season, but one time Kirk brings up his jobs and he's like, I've installed DSL, which is what he did in the first episode, and his name wasn't even Kirk yet.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't pretend.
Right, right.
Like, we always had him as this character.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, Kirk is Sean Gunn, right?
Yeah.
And he, every time we see him, he's doing something different. But he's really, I don't know if I could say fleshed out, but at least his comedic persona is more fleshed out in season two. He's sort of a loser.
Yeah.
Kind of monotone.
Yeah.
Weirdo guy.
Yeah, he's Kirk.
He also butts heads with Luke a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He'll come into the diner with some nonsense.
Yeah.
So Jess comes into the picture as a romantic possibility for Rory, but Rory still has a boyfriend.
Yeah, she still has Dean.
Season one's Dean.
Yeah.
And Dean, he goes through a bit of a change in this season. He becomes much more clingy.
Right.
And
Oh, no, go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I mean, he's more clingy, but
because his girlfriend's falling in love with somebody
else?
Yeah,
there's a reason for it.
Right.
It's not like he started off the season clingy.
Yeah.
It was clingy after he sensed that Rory was into Jess.
Right. Listen, I don't know what it means to be a teenage girl. I barely remember being a teenage boy, but Rory really annoyed me in this season. And from what I hear from everyone who's watched the show, she only gets worse as a person.
She does.
And I know, like, she's not meaning to hurt anybody, and I know that she's genuinely torn. But all the, like, she does some things actively. Like, she actively cuts school to go hang out with Jess.
Right.
She actively...
She hurts Dean. So there's a...
She hurts Dean a lot.
Yeah, there's a... I mean, we're jumping.
That's right.
But there's an episode where the town does this, like, bid on a basket thing.
Yeah.
And the women make the baskets, and whoever... Like, the baskets are anonymous, so whatever guy bids on the basket gets the company of the person who made the basket.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the whole rule. Mm-hmm. And if you... Like, obviously, if you know... like your girlfriend made the basket or whatever, you'll whatever. Jess outbids Dean. He says, like, just for fun, but then, like, Rory goes with him, and it's like Dean is telling her how hurt he is.
Right.
And she's like, those are the rules. And it's like, what do you mean?
You're right, this you're is watching, nonsense.
Right. You're watching this, like, person you love be upset and hurt by your actions.
Right. Like, we're supposed, well, all right, Jess, at least when he relates to Rory, is actually nice and smart. And, okay, I can understand, like, okay, Rory sees a side of him that everyone else doesn't.
Right.
But he's also very actively a dick to her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And why does that not turn her off?
Right.
Because he's so, like, he'll, like, this isn't real. This is metaphoric. But he'll, like, fucking shit in Dean's dinner. And then Dean would be like, oh, my God, what did you do? And then she'll be like, Dean, leave him alone. And it's like, Rory, like,
yeah,
come on. Like, I can understand why poor Dean is losing his mind through the whole season.
Right. And their first meeting, Dean and Jess, Jess was in a fight at school and Dean, like,
helped him.
Yeah, he helped him. He tore him apart so that he wouldn't get in trouble. And Jess was mad at him for that.
Right.
So, like, already, and Jess starts fighting Dean once Dean pulls him off. So, like, they already are off on a bad footing, and it's just like he can't even go to his girlfriend to talk about it.
And in season one, we had Chad Michael Murray, right?
Who
was a bad boy, but he was more like the Ivy League bad boy. He was more the rich bad boy.
Yeah.
And again, there was tension with Dean. Dean is always having to, like, fight for some oxygen.
But also, again, even if he was clingy, like, well, I guess he didn't know, but Rory did kiss what's his face, Chad Michael Murray, the day after they broke up.
Right. Did she ever tell him that?
I don't think so. I don't think she ever told him.
Right.
I don't think she needed to.
Right. He knew?
No, he didn't know. But it never came up in a place where she had to tell him or he found out.
And Dean builds a car for Rory.
Yeah. He builds her a car, which is the car that they're sitting in season one when he tells her that he loves her and she doesn't say anything. Away. But yeah, he builds her a car.
And then she lets Jess drive it and he crashes and she breaks her wrist.
Yeah.
In the car her boyfriend made her.
And also, Jess gave her the choice to go back to, because they were studying. So Jess was like, I could turn right or whatever and go back to, or I could go straight and then we'd be back at the diner and we could finish studying. And then he's like, or I could turn right and we'd just be driving around aimlessly. And she says, turn right.
Right. I mean, I understand the idea of like her whole life, Rory has done everything right.
Right.
And she's probably attracted to the idea of not having to be perfect.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like sometimes she's selfish.
Yeah.
I like the tension that happens between Lorelai and Rory because of Jess. Because Lorelai immediately kind of knows that Rory likes Jess.
Right.
And that Jess likes Rory. And she tries to stop it.
Right.
And she even like ends up getting to a fight with Luke because of it. Well, that's when the crash happens later on.
Right.
But I think she sees in Rory's attraction to Jess, her attraction to like bad boys.
Right.
Bad decision making.
Right. Well, Luke points that out, doesn't he? That Jess is a little bit like Christopher.
I think so.
Or maybe that's referring to Dean. Now I forget. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But also in this season, Lorelai graduates from business school.
Yes.
So that's pretty fun.
Yes. And, but again, all of her business school happens off screen and in like throwaway lines. Like, what are you doing tonight? Going to business school. And it's like,
yeah,
you can blink and you miss that she was even in business school.
You only like kind of see the inside of the school once when she goes on a date with that like kid.
Oh,
that
yeah.
They make fun of her for.
Right. She goes a date with that like young guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Which that's a good episode because she has a good confrontation with Suki, because Dean's like making fun of him a lot, the young guy. And she's like, Luke is making fun of the young guy a lot. And Suki's like, well, he's standing there wondering like, why will she date everybody before she dates me?
Yeah.
So you get the idea from Suki and then also from Emily that like everyone knows the thing between Lorelai and Luke.
Yeah.
But they're not acknowledging it.
Yeah. Sad.
She graduates business school with Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, he's at the graduation.
You bet he is.
But also there's like a really sweet moment where she's walking across the stage after she gets her diploma and her parents are watching and they're super proud because they never got to see her graduate because she had to drop out.
Emily cries a little bit.
Yeah, she does.
She's very proud.
It's a really sweet moment.
I like Emily more in season two.
Yeah.
Because I think in season one, they play everything Emily does is drama.
Right.
They're like, this is drama. This is comedy.
Right.
You know, whereas in season two, the tone is much better. The whole tone is much more cohesive. And she's still the same character, but a lot of her shenanigans are played as so ridiculous it's funny.
Mm.
The way that she acts about things.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of like there's the great episode where Lorelai and Emily like go out to that bar.
Oh
that's
yeah,
when they go on
a spa
weekend.
Yeah, they have a spa weekend.
Right.
And Lorelai like desperately tries to get away from her.
Yeah.
But it's Emily like fixes everything. Yeah. Like she even books them for a couple's massage.
Yeah.
Which is really funny.
Yeah. And then she's like, there was like some healthy dinner on the menu. And she's like, let's just run away and get steaks from a bar or whatever. And they go and they have an awesome time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 60-40 bar, which I have no idea what that is. Do those exist?
Where it's like an older man. And
I guess, I've never heard of 60-40 though. I don't know where those numbers come into play.
I don't know either.
But where older men hit on younger women. And so they're sitting at the bar and they're having fun. And then
Handsome Silver Fox comes over and starts flirting with Emily.
Yeah, mistakes Emily for a 40-year-old.
Right. And and Lorelai kind of like, not to hurt her mother, sort of like
to bond and like to have a good time. It a little bit. Right.
Yeah, she kind of like is like, yeah, dance with him and whatever. Yeah. And Emily is enjoying being wooed and flirted with.
Right. And I mean, he takes her out and it's whatever song. It's not a slow song.
Right.
And then it turns into a slow song. And right. Then
the oldest fucking trope in movies and TV.
And then she, you know, she gets really upset. She says that she cheated on Richard, which she didn't. But I mean, I can understand.
It's another great example of Emily defrosting a little bit and then getting scared and then icing right back up.
But then they address it, you know, after she's like, why can't we have what you and Rory have?
Right, which I think is a really important conversation.
Right. And Lorelai says because she and Rory are best friends first and mother and daughter second.
Which I still feel is unhealthy.
Right. Right. But then, you know, Emily's like, well, so we can't have that because I waited until I was older and married to have you. Like...
I mean, well, yeah. Well, it's interesting that it's really, I found it really interesting that Emily even says that she wants that.
Right.
Because clearly, like, the thing that the difference is Lorelai and Rory can say anything to each other.
Right.
And Lorelai really can't say anything to Emily. Like, she can't, even like her most distinctive feature, which is that she jokes around, Emily doesn't like.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, but I found it very heartening and sweet and a little bit heartbreaking that she even said that she wanted that.
Yeah.
But you're really beginning to see that, like, Emily is seeing this whole part of her life as like a second chance at,
yeah.
I think she thinks in some way that maybe she fucked up.
Right.
When, Lorelai got pregnant.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, they really further that along.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a whole Richard storyline. And if you listen to the last episode, you know that Richard's my favorite character. I want to be him. I want to be... I don't want to be a businessman or rich. But I want to be like an old fuddy-duddy who like sits in a study and reads books. Like, I just want that.
Yeah.
Well, what goes on with him? A lot of interesting things.
Well, one of the things is that he quits his job.
Right.
But
he quits, they're pushing him out. He's getting older and they're kind of like giving him less to do and he sees it.
But the big thing is that he didn't tell Emily.
Right.
And they've been fighting because Richard's been so unhappy at work. And then, there's this like big dinner at the inn that gets canceled. So Lorelai has it for everyone and she invites them and, you know, he's very happy and. Then it finally comes out that that's because he quit his job and he didn't tell her.
Right, right. He's going through stuff.
Yeah, but then he like is trying to fill his time because he doesn't really know how to be retired.
Right. He's like working on a car.
Yeah, he helps Rory with the economics project, but then he
gets way too into it.
Right, he takes it too seriously because he doesn't know how to retire.
He yells at like the dean of Chilton and like embarrasses himself.
Right. And then he decides to go into business for himself to open his own insurance consulting agency, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Richard.
Let's talk about everyone's afterthought. I can't even think of her stupid fucking name.
Who?
The friend.
Oh, Lane?
Lane, yeah.
Aw, come on. Lane.
Lane is just in her own show. She's not in this show. She's in her own story.
They would have probably done better to just make Lane a character from Chilton.
Yeah, because it's just like, it's so hard to keep anything she does relevant to Rory's life.
Yeah. Eventually, she just gets her own thing.
Okay.
So
she gets her own spinoff, the Lane show?
No, but...
Okay.
She doesn't leave. Don't think that there's an episode without her.
Okay, good. So, what happens? Oh, well, she's dating. She's secretly dating a boy, right?
Yeah. David?
George?
Oh, wait. No, what's his name?
Are you thinking of some boyfriend from season 7 that we haven't met yet?
No.
Is it George?
Is it George? I feel like that's not his name.
He's Korean, though, like she
is. Right, he is Korean. Wait. Ugh, it'll come to me. Hang on.
He's Lane's secret lover.
But I know it.
Secret lover.
I know it, and I can't think of it.
I'll find it. Henry.
Henry Cho, right? Henry.
Yes. And she because her mother's trash, or her mother, I mean her mother...
She's very, very, very strict.
Right, which is, it's, which is...
But the reasoning...
Which is, you know, it's not real, it's a depiction.
Right.
But it, it itself is an interesting depiction, because it's like, is that depiction prejudice? Because it's making the mother seem so unlovable and so unloving.
Right.
The mother just, I mean, like...
Well, Lane is supposed to be based on Amy Sherman Palladino's, like, best friend growing up.
Oh, okay.
Apparently.
The mother is just so, like, so old-fashioned. Right. And the fact that she just doesn't fucking...
I mean, she gives her a reason. I don't get why she doesn't like her music or anything like that. Right. But the boy thing, she gives her a reason because Lane is so afraid to tell her that, like, it all blows up and then they break up, if that's what you want to call it, because they never even went out on a date. And Lane starts crying, and Mrs. Kim, you know, says, like, I don't like this. I do all of this so that you don't get hurt, and now here you are hurt. So.
And as I said when we were watching it, but you're the one who's hurting her.
I know.
Mom.
I know. But, I mean, all of it's coming from a place of love, all right. I guess.
Maybe it's a directing problem. Maybe in the scenes where the mother was like, I hate you, blah, 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 the director should be like, whoa. Let's dial that down a little bit. Why don't you, this is still your daughter, okay? This isn't an action movie. What are you doing?
Oh boy.
You seem real like a villain right now. You give me true villain vibes.
Oh boy.
But
can we talk about Kirk's movie?
Okay, let's talk about Kirk's movie. This was a big deal for you. You were like, oh man, it's the episode
because
with Kirk's movie.
Because everyone, like, talks about it and says...
When you say everyone, do you mean Gilmore Girls TikTok?
Yeah. No,
Jen's Corner of TikTok?
Every, like, video that I've seen on Gilmore Girls, everyone everywhere.
Okay, so set it up. There's a film festival episode, right?
I want you to talk about it, though.
Why?
Because... You have a master's degree in film, and I want you to talk about it.
All right, well, all right, so, they have, it's not a film festival, they just have a town film.
Yeah, it's not a festival, it's Movie in the Square.
Right, and Lorelai picks it this year, because Taylor always picks it, and always shows some crappy movie.
The Yearling.
So, she picks it, and then Kirk comes to her, and he's like, I've been working on a movie for 3 years, it's a short film, I'd love to show it before... the film, and she's like, absolutely, you can do that, because she's just so thrilled at how weird it's gonna be. And it, you know, it's a pretty typical parody of an art film. It's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
It seems, it actually reminded me a lot of David Lynch's Eraserhead, because it's about Kirk and his girlfriend, like, going to her parents' house, and there's like an awkward dinner, and that's a lot like Eraserhead. And then he, like, gets up and starts dancing.
Yeah.
Right? Does he take his shirt off?
Yep.
He takes his shirt off and starts dancing.
He
it's pretty
to white
funny.
Lines.
It's oh yeah, to White Lines, which is a song about cocaine.
I don't know.
White lines blow away.
When we were little, me and my best friend thought it was about like the lines on the street.
That's very sweet.
That what it's about?
But what about when they would go ba-dum, 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 crack, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum,
is that
rock?
Is that what they would say? I don't know. We weren't listening that closely.
It's a weird song because it both celebrates crack and then, but also like claims to have an anti-crack. It's like crack is bad, but ain't it awesome? Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Great times. Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Fun. Don't do crack.
You gotta get your song out there somehow.
And you're like, yay! 8-year-old fucking Jen is dancing around to White Lines. Blow away. Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Yeah, that's it. Anything else? Tell us, I mean, what do you think about the movie?
I think it's fantastic.
What's it called? Does it have a name? I forget.
Oh, I don't know. I remember, like, at the end, it just says a movie by Kirk. But I don't know if it had a name.
By Kirk.
I don't know, actually.
What are some of his jobs in this season? He is the, he inspects the house for the termites.
For termites.
So that's one job he has.
I don't know. I feel like if I try, I'm going to name all the jobs he's had ever.
Okay. His, like, the bit with him is every time you see him, he has a different job.
In yeah. Oh, no. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to try it.
Sure. Okay.
But yeah, he does have a different job every time.
There's a interesting, the going back to the Dean Jess story, there's a moment where, like, Dean is, he's been waiting for Rory and she doesn't come home and he's just sitting outside the house. And Lorelai's been saying to Rory, like, your boyfriend's really, like, hanging around too much and he's calling a million times. And he's just sort of hang dog and sad. And he says, like, she likes Jess, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But then they keep dating.
I know. Well,
in typical Gilmore Girls fashion, that doesn't.
Right. Well,
I thought, oh, they're going to break up in the next episode, but they don't.
Well, I mean, Lorelai talks to him. He runs to Lorelai after the picnic basket thing.
Right.
When Rory goes off with Jess, he goes to Lorelai because he's so upset and he has no one to talk to.
Yeah.
So he goes to Lorelai, and Lorelai does say something to Rory. She's like, because Rory's upset that he went to her, and Rory says something like, he could have talked to me, and Lorelai was like, no, he couldn't. You were off with Jess.
Right.
So I think he was just like getting, I don't know, I think he just feels comfortable.
Mm.
Just like venting,
well,
I guess.
Well, they do have that intense sexual chemistry.
Stop.
That we talked about in the last episode.
But also, I'm going to ignore you. But also,
Lorelai and Dean are just explosive.
Stop. So Lorelai also tells Dean that he has to trust her, which he doesn't. Really, he doesn't.
Well.
But she does say it.
She does say it, but she is falling for Jess.
No, she is. I mean,
she's falling for him, like, she's, like, actively, like, becomes his, like, defender. Yes. Even though Jess is kind of shitty, he steals things, he starts fights. Everyone in the town doesn't like him because he's shitty. But her whole thing is, like, you guys don't know him like I do. He reads books. That's his big thing. Like, he's a piece of shit and he sucks and he, like...
He writes in margins.
Right. Like I hate...
Like Mark Twain.
I hate secret geniuses because it's like, no, you're not. Then do good in school. Like, he does bad in school, but he secretly reads all the time.
And right on a desk. There's one scene where he's writing in a book and he's holding the book up in the air while he's sitting in a desk at school. Mm. You have no idea how much it irks me. Yeah. Why can't you lean on the desk? Yeah, I don't understand.
Yeah, that does upset you.
So, what
about Dean's bracelet?
Oh, yeah, Rory. Dean's bracelet falls off while they have the picnic, and she doesn't realize it. And then Jess picks it up, and for a few episodes or an episode.
He has it for a bit.
Yeah, he has it for a while. And then Dean notices that it's not on Rory's wrist, so she makes up a lie that she got a rash. And then...
She freaks out.
Yeah, she freaks out. And Jess tells her to look in the house again, and he, like, puts it under her bed.
Right.
But Lorelai sees him coming out of her room, so she knows.
And Lorelai gets really mad and, like, tells him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She gets really mad.
And she makes a point. She's like, if Rory's your friend, why did you do this? Because you hurt Rory.
Right. You didn't hurt Dean. You hurt Rory.
Right. But then he's like, well, she didn't even notice for a week.
Right. Also, not wrong. Yeah. Not a bad point.
It's weird watching this show as an almost 40-year-old man, because I know what the show wants me to think.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell that the show wants me to like Jess. The show wants me to think, oh, he's cute and kind of bad and everyone doesn't like him, but all that smile melts me. But yeah. But as a 37-year-old man, I'm like, fuck this kid. This kid sucks.
I do... I'm curious to see what you think of him later, though. I think I like him best out of all. I don't know. I was gonna say I don't know if he's right for Rory, but I don't know if Rory's right for any of them. But yeah. I like him a lot more later.
This is a very different character from his other characters, right? Because Jack Pearson is like super nice guy, perfect dad of forever, dad of the year.
Yeah.
And then in Rocky, he's kind of also like a nice guy. He's a little bit like feels like he can't live up to his father's persona. But he's much more of like a heavy in this. He's much more of like a bad boy.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
he's trying to be like Han Solo to Dean's Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Luke, who owns Luke's diner. I mean, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. But also, wait, let's get back to Luke.
Please.
With the with his uncle's funeral.
Yeah.
That was a really, like, sweet moment between him and Lorelai.
Yeah.
So Luke's uncle dies, but his uncle, like, apparently no one liked him.
He was a scumbag.
Yeah. And Luke's trying to, like, get the funeral together and,
there's the reenactors, reenactors.
Yeah, what do they do? The Civil War? Or World War?
I'm not sure.
I feel like it's Civil War.
Something like that.
Yeah, so
it's much older war.
Right, because his uncle was a veteran, that's when the reenactors come to funerals.
And they don't want to come.
Right, because they didn't like him.
That's a pretty funny scene when he's like, why won't you guys call me back? And then none of them want to talk to him. And Taylor's like, I thought you said you were going to call him. And they're all just like, we didn't like him.
Yeah.
And like, what is one guy? One guy's like, he slept with my wife or something like that.
I think he hit on her.
Oh, I hit on my wife. He kicked my dog. He kicked Kirk's dog.
Yeah, Kirk's dog.
But he's like, my dog was never the same. He's like, neither was my wife.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, you know, Lorelai's the only one that's kind of like standing by him for the funeral. And then the reenactors like finally show up for the actual funeral.
Mm-hmm.
But Lorelai's the one like helping him run the diner while he's dealing with everything and helping him like pick out caskets and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just like a really sweet
moment
between them
for
time period.
If I had to read her feelings, I think that she obviously likes him, and I think she knows that she likes him, but I think she values his friendship so much that she's afraid.
Right. That's one of her best friends.
Yeah, right. Also, this we haven't talked about this much, but this season kind of tries to make a love interest out of Christopher.
Right.
Rory's father. He kind of moves closer to them, so he's more in the picture. He's showing up more to Rory's things.
But he is seeing someone.
Right. He's seeing Malin, whatever her name, from Twin Peaks.
Wait, I know her name. They just said it.
It's Sadie. Isn't it Sadie?
That's her name.
Isn't it Sadie?
It's not Sadie.
I'm pretty sure it's Sadie.
It's not Sadie. I don't know why I'm so bad at names right now.
I'm terrible at names, except for Sadie. I remember Sadie.
Oh, boy. Sherry.
Shasidi. So he right. So
Sherry.
Right. Played by who? Played by what's her name?
I don't know.
Malin Amick from
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks, yeah. And I think she's also on Riverdale now.
Hmm.
So yeah,
she's supposed to be perfect.
Yeah, right. She's very pretty and whatever.
Yeah.
And Christopher's whole thing was like, I drive a motorcycle and I can't settle down. And that's why it never worked with him and Lorelai. But like, he seems to be settling down with Sadie. Right.
He drives a Volvo now.
Right. And I think Lorelai's, well, why not me?
Right. And then we missed like a huge thing.
What?
Jackson proposes to Suki.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is fun. Well, I mean, okay. Was it not a huge thing?
No, it's a huge thing, but there's no drama to it. It just happened. It like
they're so perfect.
It just perfectly happens.
They're perfect.
Yeah, there's no. I'm trying to like. There's very little. There's like little things like Emily gets involved in the wedding and it gets overdone, or like what is Jackson upset about in the? Oh, because she doesn't want to move in with him or whatever or something, right?
Well, I mean, she's just like insecure about it.
Yeah.
And then they talk about it, though.
Yeah, there's not a lot of
perfect. Not a lot of
drama. They're perfect, yeah.
They're perfect together.
So, yeah, I guess her wedding is a sort of framing device because
the
season finale is her wedding.
Right. So, also, okay, so after, we really jumped around.
Sure, yeah.
After the car crash with Rory and Jess, Jess drives her to the hospital and then like has like a moment with Luke.
Right.
And then like gets on a bus. Yeah. Luke puts him, we find out from Babette that Luke put him on a bus.
Right. Babette is not in this season enough.
She'll be. I mean,
she
I think she's in three a lot more, but
well,
she'll be
good because she was a lot in one and not as enough in
they
two.
I feel like they needed to rebrand her voice a little because she comes back at one point and she's like real raspy and I'm not mad about it.
Maybe she got sick. I don't know.
For the whole rest of the time?
No, maybe she got sick between season one and season three and now she just sounds different.
It sounds forced, but maybe.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
But this is a big turning point in the story of Luke and Lorelai because Lorelai is so upset that her daughter's in the hospital and her daughter's in a cast.
Right.
That she like just takes it all out on Luke and she's like, why did you bring him here? Everyone fucking hates this kid. Right. What is wrong with you? I told you blah 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 blah.
Well, her initial reaction was to bring all that energy to Jess. Because she comes in the diner screaming for Jess.
Right.
And he's gone already. So.
Right. He shouldn't have left.
Well, I don't know. They said that... Oh, no. They said that he wanted to leave. Yeah. But that's Jess.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know how to deal with his feelings.
Fucking Jess. So, yeah. And so they kind of have a big fight.
Yeah.
And that's not resolved.
Right.
Does every season end on a cliffhanger? Kind of.
You keep asking me, and I keep saying I don't remember, but I don't know.
All right, I'll ask you again next time.
The first two have. I don't watch it like seasons.
But don't you have a sense of the story arc?
Nah, not really. It just goes. It's just on a loop in the background.
Okay.
Sometimes my eyeballs glance at it. That's
sure.
It.
like in the last episode, Lorelai is like afraid to come into the diner and she finally comes in and she starts talking to Luke and he's kind of giving her like short little answers.
Yeah,
and she's like, I just want things to be the way they were. And he's like, what? I'm right here. Everything's fine. So, but clearly they aren't perfect.
Right.
And then Jess shows back up because Jess goes home after the whole car accident thing.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole day where Lorelai cuts school to go hang out with him in New York.
Rory, sorry.
And then he shows up in the last episode at the wedding.
Yeah.
And Rory kisses him.
Yeah, Rory kisses him.
Rory
That's an
kisses
important,
him.
It's an important detail.
Right.
He just showed up.
And she
to
kissed
be Jess.
Him.
And she kissed. She asked what he was doing there, and then she kissed him. And then she told him not to say anything.
Right.
And which so is it, not fair to him or Dean.
Yeah, the cliffhanger ending is they're, Rory and Lorelai are about to like walk down the aisle, and they both look devastated because...
Right.
Christopher just said that Sadie, who he was going to break
Sherry.
Up with, he was going to break up with Sadie and get with Lorelai, but he's like, Sadie's pregnant and I can't run out on another kid. So they break up. They're like, would almost is going to happen. Romance doesn't happen.
Right.
And then with Rory, she kisses Jess.
Right.
And Dean's also at the party. He doesn't see it, but he's at the party.
Right.
So they're both like, and that's the end of the episode, of the season.
Well, also, just like before, in the last episode also, Paris runs for student body president.
Yes.
And she needs Rory to run with her to like soften her image.
Right.
So they win. And if you win, mm-hmm. you spend like the summer in Washington.
Right.
So the last line that Rory says for the episode is that she's going to Washington.
Yeah.
So which means
which
that,
Dean doesn't want.
Right. Dean doesn't want her to go. But she says that she's going now after she kisses Jess, which means like she's leaving Dean for however long, and then she's just leaving Jess hanging
right.
with this thing that she did.
Who
and
came
then
back
told
really
to
just
not...
for her.
Right. And so that's where.
I like the scene where Jess comes back to live with Luke.
Yeah.
And then he leaves and Luke's like, she's not at home. He knows that he knows what's up. He knows
right.
that he likes Rory. And he's like, leave her alone. She's got a boyfriend.
Yeah, just leave
and he's
it.
Like, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, but he does.
Yeah. So. You know, I really just wish, I get that it's drama and this is a drama TV show. But if it were real life,
right.
I would want her to just break up with Dean. I feel like there's a point where she very clearly knows that she's done with Dean.
Right.
Cut the poor boy loose.
And it's not fair because Dean gets like a lot of like heat for being toxic.
From the fans and
UV. Right. And it's just like.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think he's like, acting that way before her.
He's not. Yeah. And I understand how that behavior on its own
is shitty. Is, and will make you less attracted to right, somebody.
But it's not unprovoked. You know? Like, it, yeah. there's. It's not like there's no reason behind it. Mm. It's hard. Like, I don't know.
What else? There's minor little movement on the idea of Lorelai and Suki owning their own inn. They find an inn that an old lady owns, but the old lady won't sell it.
Fran from the bakery, from Weston's Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
That was in this episode? I mean, that was in this season?
I believe so. I might be wrong. I might be forgetting too. But they're, so there's not much movement on that. Oh, we meet Michelle's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Who's original Aunt Viv.
Yeah.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was. We see that, like, Michelle has a really, really great relationship with his mom.
Yeah. And then is hilarious, given that the whole thing is about weird relationships with mothers.
Right.
And his is just perfect.
But, no, but we find out that it's perfect because he doesn't tell her anything.
Right. Lorelai ruins so
funny.
It.
Yeah, right.
He's consistent. We don't know a lot about him, and we don't see him in a lot of different settings, but he's consistently funny at what he does.
Mm.
He's consistently good.
Yeah.
At just being like, oh, fucking Lorelai.
Yeah.
He just can't suffer her bullshit.
Yep.
Her sticky shit.
Yep. Yep. They're fun. They're fun together.
I like when after the fight with Luke, they go to a different diner for breakfast. Yep. And Michelle's there and she goes and bothers him.
Yeah. And then she's like, how come you never told me about this place? And he says, because then there would be no place in my life free of you.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Did you see on TikTok? Was it on TikTok or Instagram? I don't know. I'm so into what the kids are into. I'm so cool. Somebody was like, when do Rory and Lorelai wake up? If they go to a diner every single morning right. and then she has to go to Shelton. And
also, maybe stop eating out if you want to afford an inn.
I know. Maybe burgers every fucking day for dinner and then pancakes every morning.
They eat 2 to 3 meals out a day, I guess, depending on if it's the weekend.
Yeah, you never see anybody cook anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, what are you, a millennial? Yeah, it just, well, how would you, I mean, she has to be at Chilton at what, 8?
Yeah, that test was like 8:05,
and
right?
It's like an hour away, isn't it? Isn't it a far drive?
Well, she has to take the bus. She doesn't even drive there. So yeah, so I guess an hour bus ride.
What happens to their car?
So 7?
The car that they originally had. Oh, she just doesn't use it?
Oh, right, because Dean built her the car.
But before that, she had the, remember the car that the mother drove?
That but that was only that one. Oh, that was only that one.
Oh, okay.
That's because she was going to be late for right. the test, so she let her drive it, but normally she takes the bus.
They have time to wake up. And it's not dark when they wake up.
It's not.
They wake up and it's light. They have some funny banter in the house as they're leaving. Go to Luke's, have a fun time there, and then go. She goes to the inn and Rory goes to school. It doesn't make any sense.
It has to be at least 7 when they have to leave.
To go to Luke's?
Or at least when Rory has to leave to go to school.
So if school what are they starts at 5? How is it still bright?
I don't know. I'm just saying that it has to be. If she has to be there by 8, like, it has to be at least 7 when she leaves. She doesn't like to be late. She likes to be early, too.
Right. Is it this season where we have the little storyline about how she reads books at lunch? And yes. then they're like, you should be more.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, almost joins, like, the.
The Puffs.
Yeah, the Puffs.
Yeah, the sorority, a secret sorority.
Which Paris really wants to join.
And what's her face from The Nanny, isn't it?
Yeah, and Californication.
The youngest daughter.
That's a fun episode. Yeah. And I love the idea of her reading alone at lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a wild season.
It is. You know, like any TV drama that isn't like HBO or Netflix,
mm-hmm.
it's like 22 episodes. That's yeah. a lot. It's a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And they're stretching.
Yeah.
Like something will happen and then we won't even talk about it for two more episodes.
Right.
Oh, we didn't talk about the pointless fucking Lane it wants to be a drummer now.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing interesting about that episode is that the music shop is owned by Carol Kane. Not Carol Kane. Carol Kane is from Taxi. Carol King.
Oh, yeah. Carol King.
I said Carol Kane.
Oh.
From Taxi and Scrooged. No, it's owned by Carol King, who sings the theme song.
Yeah, that's fun.
And the musical Beautiful is about her, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all her music. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of fun. But she's like, I don't get where that's going.
It's going. It's going somewhere.
Okay.
By the wedding, she's drumming on beat pretty good. I wonder if the girl that plays Lane drums, and that's why.
Yeah, I'm going to not look that up. There. Maybe if I'm tired later and I can't go to sleep, I'll look up some Lane stuff.
Oh, boy.
Go to sleep.
You know what? She's just...
Someone should make a Lane supercut of all her scenes. I bet it doesn't even last like an hour. Just the whole series.
She's trying her best, man.
To what?
I don't know. To be.
I like when we see that she was became a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, Rory's out doing her own fucking thing. Why shouldn't she?
Right.
And I think Rory was shitty to her.
Yeah.
She was like making fun of her and stuff.
Yeah, she was.
This was the 90s when cheerleading was like the stereotype of like you're a dumb girl. Mm-hmm. Whereas now cheerleading is like a major athletic sport where you go and like compete and like are in crazy good shape.
The actress was born in Hawaii. That's fun.
All right. So are we done? Did we do it? Season two of Gilmore Girls?
I'm pretty sure we did it.
All right. Just like last time, I'm going to predict where I think season three is going to go and you're not going to tell me anything.
Sure.
He
has his eyes closed.
Yeah. I don't want to see because you don't have a good poker face. So next season we're going to start. I'm going to say after summer, Rory comes back from her summer with Paris. Dean is just moping around. Jess is moping around. She kind of like, I don't know, maybe she kisses both of them. She don't know. Eventually in season three, she just ends up with Jess. I'm hoping that Lorelai and Luke fuck in this season finally.
Oh my God, stop it. You don't have to be so vulgar.
I hope they go to the bone zone.
Oh, Jesus.
I hope he takes the the flesh
stop
boat
it.
To Tuna Town.
Stop it.
I hope they play Bury the Salami.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just saying things that Burgess Meredith said in Grumpy Old Men. More Emily shit. Probably Richard's business does well. I don't know. Maybe Paris gets a boyfriend. Maybe they'll bring in another young guy to fucking spice things up with fucking Rory. I don't know. That's all I got. And hopefully Lane gets hit by a bus and that character's
done. Oh, come on. I told you she's not going anywhere.
I know, but I can dream.
Oh, come on.
All right. I'm Mike Bongiorno. You're Jen Littrell.
Yep.
Jen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing Gilmore Girls into my life.
Anytime.
You know, Jen, if you lead, I'll follow. This is PCMC. We come out every Wednesday. We end every episode by saying...
Go bye-bye.